This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome in on a Monday morning, the 24th day of February, and what a glorious one it's going to be. I'm seeing, did I see 60 up there on the forecast, Carl? Did you hear that?
60s.
Woo, baby. Yeah, it's going to be nice. Get out there and enjoy it while it lasts. Even yesterday was pretty spectacular. So great opportunity to maybe grab lunch outside or something today. Unless you're a government employee. And then we need to know that you're working. So please email your boss before you go outside for lunch.
Or
I'm
golf.
Just kidding. Or golf or whatever it is you're doing. Trump says they're all golfing. So, Carl, maybe we went into the wrong business. It's possible. Although, you know, we can still go see Dr. Green in the afternoons because we work so early in the mornings.
Is that your plan today?
No, it's not. But it should be. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff at about 8:20. We'll get to Matt Pauley from live from Jupiter at about 8:35. And I understand that the Cardinals got their rear ends handed to them yesterday by Houston, Carl tells me.
They did.
So we'll talk to him about what's going on down there, what the mood is, if what he's thinking their prospects are in terms of pitching and maybe some new blood. I don't know. We'll talk to Matt at the bottom of the hour. Remember, you can download the podcast anytime there at 971talk.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We try to make that as easy for you as possible. And just a reminder, as we near the end of the month here, you can nominate your favorite first responder for a free meal for their entire crew. If you've got a police officer, an EMS worker, a firefighter, somebody that you know that does a great job or has personally done a great job for you, send us their name down here. Yeah, we will pick a winner each month, and I will deliver food directly from Grillmaster Tony to their station or their office or wherever they happen to be. And we make it easy. 971talk.com/contest. Just go on there. You'll find all the details where you can submit a name, and we will pick a winner here before the end of the month. So sometime next week, we will be delivering some food to one of our local first responder organizations. All right, Carl, time for us to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
My body isn't the problem. The system is. When you're forced to buy two seats or squeeze into a space that wasn't designed for your body, it's not just inconvenient, it's dehumanizing.
Oh, yeah. No more fat shaming, right? That's a group that thinks people who are heavy should automatically get two seats or they should make the seats bigger on airplanes. And now we find out airlines are considering issuing weight-based fees for obese passengers. How is that going to go over?
You can't work at home. They're not working. They're playing tennis, they're playing golf, or they have other jobs. But they're not working, or they're certainly not working hard. You could never build a company or a country with that.
That is the businessman's approach to a workforce there. Donald Trump is large and in charge. And he says, hey, if you're not working, if you're slacking off, we're going to weed you out of the federal government.
Like, Fauci did some extraordinarily evil.
It's a bummer.
It's just a bummer that someone had that kind of power for so long. It was such a monster.
Wow. Joe Rogan. You can't listen to Rogan without some bleeps in it there somewhere. With Woody Harrelson talking about, of course, there are problems with Fauci and some of the problems that related to our health in this country.
General, do we have too many white officers in the Air Force?
Senator, what I really look at is the quality of all the officers that we have, and we look at the aspect of everyone who's qualified.
Apparently not. That was General C.Q. Brown when Eric Schmidt had a chance to question him before the Senate, and they were talking about it was a hearing on DEI. And the reports of what they were forcing down these kids' throats at the academies and in the services where you're teaching them about pronouns instead of how to the right end of a rifle. It was ridiculous. We talked about it then. Eric Schmidt was grilling him on, they came out with new statistics of exactly what their goals were. It was a quota. We want X amount of people to be white, X amount to be black, X amount to be Asian. It went right down the list. Regardless of their qualifications, this had to be the mix of the officer corps in the United States military. And I love the fact that Eric Schmidt let go with both guns on General C.Q. Brown, because somebody needed to, for sure. Listen to this answer.
General, do we have too many white officers in the Air Force?
Senator, what I really look at is the quality of all the officers that we have, and we look at the aspect of everyone who's qualified, meets the qualifications, is promoted.
And what I would agree with you, but that answer is not consistent with your August 9th memo. In your August 9th memo, you said that you signed on to that there should be a reduction, essentially, of about 9% of the white officers. That's 5,400. We have 5,400, you know, too many white officers.
Yeah, that basically is what it would have called for. Replacing, though, to equal things out the way they thought they should be equaled out, you would need to have fired 5,400 white officers and replaced them with somebody of a different skin tone, whether they were as qualified or not. It's the definition of racism. It's why General C.Q. Brown was removed as chief of staff, even though he at one point had been promoted during the previous Trump administration, not to chief of the Joint Chiefs. But, of course, he had been promoted within the ranks at a couple years ago. This is all you need to know about General C.Q. Brown. He's said it himself, and what he was focused on in the Joint Chiefs position was not on the safety and security of the United States, but on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the ranks.
I'm thinking about how my nomination provides some hope, but also comes with a heavy burden. I can't fix centuries of racism in our country, nor can I fix decades of discrimination that may have impacted members of our Air Force. I'm thinking about how I can make improvements personally, professionally, and institutionally, so that all airmen, both today and tomorrow, appreciate the value of diversity and can serve in an environment where they can reach their full potential. I think I don't have all the answers on how to create such an environment, whether here in PACAF or across our Air Force. I'm thinking about, without clear-cut answers, I just want to have the wisdom and knowledge to lead during difficult times like these. I want the wisdom and knowledge to lead, participate in, and listen to necessary conversations on racism, diversity, and inclusion. I want the wisdom and knowledge to lead those willing to take committed and sustained action to make our Air Force better.
Yep, that was General C.Q. Brown. Any surprise? He was completely woke. He came out in the wake of the George Floyd case and basically drew his own conclusions as to what killed George Floyd, not probably some anaphylactic reaction to his breathing, but it had to be the police officer that killed him. He just drew that conclusion and condemned everyone for it, who happened to be white. That's the reason he was removed. It had nothing to do with racism except his embrace of woke. And for anybody to say otherwise is a lie. And he's been replaced now with Raisin Kane, which is probably the greatest name for a general that I've ever heard of in my life. That's pretty cool. Hey, guess what? Coming up, we've got retired gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff. We'll get to her right after the break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind the scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay tuned.
All federal employees must once again show up to work. It's a new phenomena, you know, since COVID. Show up to work in person like the rest of us. So, I mean, it doesn't work when you don't show up. And I see companies now are all going back to it. They're all going back. It's great. I watch some of the big business leaders saying we absolutely are going back. You can't work at home. They're not working. They're playing tennis. They're playing golf. Or they have other jobs. But they're not working. Or they're certainly not working hard. You could never build a company or a country with that. So we have a very strong policy, and if they don't show up to work, they get fired.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jessie Jane Duff on the line with us now. Boy, they couldn't get away with that in the military, could they, Jessie Jane?
You know, I tried when I was on active duty, and I really, really tried to propose to the commanding officer, can I work from home? It really makes sense. Okay. You know, like this logic is, so first of all, I don't mind any company having a policy that allows one, maybe even 2 days from home. And there are productivity gauges that actually go on because I have myself worked from home. And they are, I had to submit a report, you know, to Elon Musk point. Every week, I had to submit a report of my accomplishments. And let me tell you, there is no way I could go play golf or get anything done without getting those tasks completed. And I think there has to be a level of accountability. But President Trump is 150% correct. I have a place in D.C. And when I drive around and you see those empty office buildings, you're just in your head thinking, this has cost American taxpayers billions of dollars to keep these facilities open without even people sitting behind the desk.
Right.
In fact, there have been federal buildings that have had Legionnaires' disease develop in the water pipes because the water wasn't kept moving. That is how critical this has become, that they are degrading the building structures, we're paying for them, and there is no justification for people to not have that office camaraderie for the mission accomplished. Accomplishments. This whole, you know, we got people that are so traumatized all the time. They have to take health and wellness days, mental health days. I'm sorry. I really wanted a mental health day when I was in boot camp.
Yeah,
what is wrong with these people?
That's the truth. That is the truth. So what's your take on the CQ Brown demotion from Joint Chiefs chair? I mean, this is a pretty common occurrence. And after listening to some of his woke comments on DEI, I can't imagine he would have stayed there long under Trump.
Right, absolutely. DEI, the BLM, you know, the George Floyd riots. I have sympathy for people that were products of the environment they also were in. That was all generated right out of the White House. That was the culture that the White House had pressed forward and tried to give people this opportunity to express these type of open views that are controversial. Never before, in my experience in the military, where we ever seen generals get out there and make these views that were really controversial and anti-productive to unit cohesion and morale. Now, C.Q. Brown is also among several generals that are going to be leaving, and one of them, his name escapes me right now, was very, very good in his response. He said the president should not have people in place that he does not feel comfortable or trust, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And that general was removed also. But he did it with a dignified response of, this is all to the discretion of your commander in chief. And you know that going into these offices, particularly the high ranking ones. So C.Q. Brown, if he's a true soldier, as we would like to think, because he served over 40 years, is saying, hey, it is at the discretion of the president when it comes down to who he wants on his military advising, because it is an advisory role that he had. So, hey, some of the generals are handling it well. We've heard nothing from C.Q. Brown. He's probably going to be a dignified man. 40 years is long enough, trust me, in the military. Yeah. so good for the president to make those moves. It is the right thing to do for the country.
Yeah, amen. Carl, I want to play a bite that I'm sure is going to make Jesse Jane's day. Would you go to cut number 14 for me? She probably hadn't heard this in a while.
But some look at this moment and rightly feel the weight of history. Some see the flames on our horizons, the rising waters in our cities, the shadows gathering over our democracy.
What do you think?
Were those nails on a chalkboard that you just forced me to listen to? I mean, I'm over here now having to pull my ears out because you just wasted 90 seconds of my life. You know, essentially, this woman got an award for losing. That's
yes.
What she got. This
yes.
was her runner-up trophy.
The image award from the NAACP.
Oh, it was an image, all right. But it was quite an image. It was an image that we will never escape from, and we all dodged a bullet. That award should have been simply named when you can't make it to the final end because nobody wants you, and it's time for you to move on with your life award, because that's essentially what she is. I mean, her sentence made absolutely no sense.
I thought it sounded an awful lot like she's still going to run for office in California.
Please do. Even Californians aren't that insane. I mean, I'm a Californian, and a lot of what has happened has been kind of one of those creep things. But, you know, where they creep in and take your freedoms away, and then you don't realize what just happened. This woman has been fully exposed for this socialist Marxist ideology, the far left. Hey, let's just bring every illegal into California, and let's all have one living upstairs or downstairs of our house, or in the garage, or in the attic, whatever.
Oh, boy.
They are nuts.
No. Thanks. Jesse Jane, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, motivators, take the hill.
We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate that. All right, coming up, we'll check in with in Jupiter, Florida, our friend Matt Pauley, and see how the Cardinals are shaping up this spring season. All right, I don't want to brag too much about our 60-degree weather here today, because my guess is our friend Matt Pauley down in Jupiter, Florida, is going to have some better weather than that. But Matt, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's actually really raining right now. It's kind of dreary, so for maybe the first time since I've been here, St. Louis weather might be a little better than it is here.
That's good. Rough job if you can get it, for sure, man. How are things going down there?
Yeah, I think it's been good. It's been a good vibe down here. Guys are glad to be back playing, you know, doing baseball type things. It was a long off season of not a whole lot happening, and I think everybody was glad to finally be able to get onto a baseball field.
That's true. So tell me about the Cardinals rookie. Is it Weatherholt? Is that his name? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, J.J. Weatherholt. He was the number 7 overall pick in last year's draft out of West Virginia. He could have easily been the overall number 1 pick. He dealt with a little bit of an injury at the end of his collegiate time, and that dropped him a few spots. He is somebody, he's only played about 25 games of professional baseball at low there. But as a college guy, a little bit older, he's a high-end player. We could see him in St. Louis potentially at the end of this year. He hit his first home run yesterday, had a two-hit day yesterday, looks very comfortable out there. So this is a guy that Cardinals fans should, A, be excited about, and be really aware of him because he's going to be on a fast track to the big leagues.
Yeah, is he an outfielder?
He's a natural shortstop. He'll probably end up being a second baseman with the Cardinals because they've got Mason Wynn. So the long-term double play combination for the Cardinals is likely Weatherholt and Wynn.
Huh. All right. Well, it's something to watch out for then. You know, I watch basically up here in social media as people complaining about the lack of additions to the team for this year. I mean, is that something that's been discussed down there?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not trying to run away from it. They didn't sign a major league free agent, and they only acquired one player in the offseason who's on the 40-man roster, and it's a guy that's not even guaranteed to be on the big league roster in Michael Hellman. So we knew it was going to look somewhat like that when the season came to an end last year and they did that press conference and they said they were going to reduce payroll. They did that with not bringing back Paul Goldschmidt and not picking up the options on Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, and we thought they were going to do that by trading away Nolan Arenado. The Arenado trade doesn't happen. I think the team is comfortable enough with where they are from a payroll standpoint, but they do want to give younger players an opportunity. So, sir, it's disappointing for Cardinals fans not to have something to really talk about in the offseason, but it's also not something that was unexpected.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I wondered how, you know, I read a couple stories on Arenado, and, you know, I mean, he's a professional. He's not coming back down there with an attitude. He's just anxious to play baseball, right?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot was made of how awkward this situation was going to be, and I don't think it's been awkward at all. He knew that the Cardinals were trying to trade him. They communicated that with him at the end of the season last year. He had a very limited number of teams that he was willing to accept a trade to. One of them was Houston. The Cardinals got a deal done with Houston. And then he said, you know what, on second thought, I actually don't want to be an Astro. So yeah, John Mozeliak can't fly to Los Angeles and go into the Dodgers offices and say, hey, you need to not worry about Max Muncy, your current third baseman. We need you to want Nolan Arenado.
Right.
So, I think everybody understands the situation. Is there still a possibility he gets traded at some point? Yeah, absolutely there's that possibility. But I think each side is moving forward right now like they're going to still be together for at least a while.
Well, the Astros looked pretty good yesterday, didn't they?
They did, although a lot of that run scoring came late in the game. I think the important thing yesterday was Miles Michaelis threw two scoreless innings, and then Tekoa Roby, who's a really interesting prospect, he came over at the trade deadline a couple years ago. He hasn't been able to stay healthy as a starter. They've moved him into a relief role, and he looked just – he had three strikeouts and two no-hit innings yesterday. He's someone contending for a bullpen role. So, you know, the two pitchers that you really wanted to have some success yesterday in Miles Michaelis and Tekoa Roby, each of those guys were able to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Matt Pauley, our guest, he's, of course, a host of a Sports Open Line over at KMOX, and he's down in Jupiter right now watching the Cardinals. I'm not trying to be a – negative here, but I'm looking at some of the stories I've noticed up here. I don't know if it was Channel 4, one of the stories this morning talking about the fact that opening day hasn't sold out, and it may, you know, this is getting to be a little bit of concerning, I would think, for the Cardinals, because they've got quite a reputation of, what, 3 million tickets a year sold, generally speaking.
Yeah, and they did not get to the 3 million last year. They're not planning to get to the 3 million this year. That could obviously change based off the way the team plays. But there is discontent for Cardinals fans with the organization right now. There are a lot. John Mozeliak is not a popular person. Oliver Marmol is not a popular person. And we've hit this point now with a certain, you know, percentage of Cardinals fans, and I don't know if it's a vocal minority or a majority. Like, I can't really assess what it is, but there are fans who are not going to go to Cardinals games unless the team is really winning or unless those individuals are no longer associated with the team. So I think it's really important from a business perspective for the Cardinals that the team gets off to a nice start this year, because if they get off to a slow start like they did each of the last two seasons, I don't know how they're going to draw people into the ballpark. And it's kind of sad. It's a little bit disappointing. The fans are speaking with their wallets and you know, with their backsides, not sitting in seats at the ballpark. I love it when there's a lot of people at the games. I think that this team can be better than people expect them to be, but that's where this fan base is at right now.
Yeah, interesting. Matt, what's the timeline between now and opening day?
Yeah, so they just started Grapefruit League games here this past weekend, and we have about 5 weeks until they are actually going to play games that matter. So there's still a lot of time left. Spring training is long. Spring training is 6 weeks long. So we've got a while still until they are playing games inside of Busch Stadium.
That's true. Hey, Matt, listen, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk soon. Matt Pauley there, live down in Jupiter. And, I think he's right. I sense the frustration as well. I got to be honest with you. Was it last year, Carl, that we went to the media night, the media days for the Blues?
Yes.
And I listened to the GM get up and basically say that, well, this could be a rebuilding year. Not in as many words. And you're kind of thinking, you're sitting in the audience, that's not good.
No.
what that's telegraphing is, we're not going to take any of the cash that we're making and go buy any players that might make an impact, because we're trying to rebuild for the season. And if you're, I don't know, if you're a hardworking man or woman who makes it your pay and you bring it home and you've got to buy tickets to a Cardinals game and then go spend $20 for a beer and a hot dog while you're down there, each $20 each, it seems like. That's an expensive day. If you're going to dedicate those kind of resources to the game, you want to know they're going to give you something back. I don't know. I can see where that attitude is coming from a little bit. Even if you're a diehard Cardinals fan, you're angry because you want to see the team trying to improve. Maybe like Matt Pauley just said, you got 5 weeks left. This team has a potential to be better than you think. So let's wait and see what happens. Maybe that rookie, Wetterholt, who hit his first home run yesterday, will jump to the forefront. You never know. Could be another Albert Pujols down there.
You
in spring
gotta
training.
Play the games, Mark.
You gotta play them.
You can't. You do not want on paper.
Nope. Not at all. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. When I come back, I tease this at the top of the show. There is a movement afoot to potentially do a weight-based fee on airlines, right? And I'm not talking about your luggage. I'm talking about your butt. We'll talk about it when we get back. And Carl, remind the people why this is such a great Led Zeppelin historical day.
The double album, Physical Graffiti, came out
today,
50 years ago.
Don't feel old like I did when he told me
50.
That. 5-0. Wow.
Cashmere, Trampled Underfoot, Custard Pie.
Carl, do you remember the last time you and I went to Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
For the Radio Row there for the immigration.
Fair.
Fair, yeah. And if I remember the story correctly, you ended up like sandwiched between two very large people on that flight, didn't you?
They were very apologetic. Actually, I was up against the wall. They were seated next to each other, spilling into each other's seats.
And yours, no doubt.
And mine. And they were very, very sweet about this. They said, we probably should have bought an extra seat. And I said, it's okay. You guys are nice about it. Some people are not nice about it.
Some people are not nice about it. In fact, some people think that if you were to complain about somebody flowing over into your seat, you are somehow discriminating against them or fat-shaming them, which I wasn't surprised. There is a group that is talking about fat equity on airplanes. They've even made a video about it, and I want to play a little bit for you right now. Listen.
This plus-sized woman believes it's a basic human right to travel with dignity, and she's standing up for change. With every journey, Jaylen challenges the uncomfortable realities that many larger travelers face, from cramped seats to insensitive policies, and she demands a change.
You deserve to be comfortable flying, and you deserve to live your best life just like everybody else. Airline seats are too small for many people, regardless of their size or weight.
Jalen has launched a GoFundMe to advocate for fat equality and offers helpful tips on how plus-size travelers can travel safely and comfortably.
You deserve to be comfortable. You deserve to get there and not affect your health in some crazy way. If anyone is being asshole to you and staring at you or making you feel uncomfortable, realize that that's more a reflection of who they are and not you.
No. No, it's not. And now I see this tweet out yesterday that airlines are considering issuing weight-based fees for obese passengers, according to Fox News. The Fox report comes as airlines are exploring ways of reducing fuel costs and protecting the environment. Finnair recently expanded their weight data collection initiative, where passengers voluntarily weigh themselves before getting on a plane. These developments indicate a growing interest in the airline industry in exploring weight-based strategies for operational efficiency and future pricing models. Now, I could not agree with that more. The ridiculous part of it is that if you weigh 400 pounds and flow over into my seat, I'm forced to sit next to you and suffer through it. You don't have to pay anything extra for that, even though you outweigh me by 200 pounds. But if my luggage weighs 51 pounds instead of 50, I get charged an extra $80 or whatever the fee is for an overweight bag. Why shouldn't you be charged extra for that? Right? And maybe if they're going to do it that way, if you weigh 110 pounds, your ticket costs less than somebody that weighs 300 pounds or 400 pounds. The idea of widening the seats, guess what? Buy a first class ticket and then you can sit in a wider seat. But don't think you're going to get crammed into coach and they're suddenly going to start throwing out rows of seats. They make too much money on that. Or another idea, and this could be controversial, is that you could be forced to buy a second seat. Not for free, a second seat. If I take my child on an airplane and they're in a car seat, I have to pay for that other seat to sit them in, even though technically they could probably fly for free, depending on their age. Why shouldn't you, if you're taking up two seats, effectively? So I don't have a problem with this. I don't know where people stand on it, but generally speaking, if the airlines were to move to something like that, it's something I would support completely. And it wouldn't be a moment too soon. It's every time I go to the airport, my wife and I bought one of those portable scales, Carl, so that we can weigh her luggage before we leave for the airport.
Not just yours.
Usually she'll get mad at me for saying that, but we're usually weighing her luggage. And then you also want it to weigh it on the way back from vacation, where you've probably bought a bunch of crap that's weighed it down even more. And how many times have you been one of those people where at the counter you have to unzip your suitcase in front of everybody and transfer stuff into your backpack, so the same amount of weight is still flying,
yes,
but the airline can stick it up your rear end if it's 51 pounds instead of 50.
Right. It's still happening. It's just that it's redistributed.
It's just redistributed.
You're
not throwing away the snow globe you bought in you know, Chechnya for your grandchild just because it weighs too much in your luggage. You're just moving it to your carry-on or something.
How many Chechenian snow globes do
you
have?
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to think of Italian, Swiss, whatever it happens to be. You're not doing that, right? Or your extra bottles of tequila you brought from when you were in Mexico at the duty-free shop.
They usually put those on the plane themselves.
They do. That's usually great. Those usually get carried on for you. That's nice. You know, I found duty free generally does not save you much money.
It does not.
No.
You might find a diamond in the rough, though.
Rare. And usually when I've been traveling to places where I think maybe I'll find a bottle of bourbon I can't find in the United States, if I do find it, it's generally no cheaper.
As marked up as it is in the
wild.
It is as
marked up as it is here. I've never found that to be a huge deal. But anyway, if the airlines do that, kudos to them. It's I'm sure there'll be lawsuits over it if they do for discrimination. But, you know, it's not my fault if you are large. I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have to. Like, I've got big shoulders, and if I'm sitting in an aisle with two other people with big shoulders, it's cramped. But it's not my, you know, it's not my Dunlap that's forcing itself over on you there. It's my shoulders. I'm sorry about that.
Now, what if you're tall? What if you're tall? Because there's a tall 300 pounds there,
well,
and there's a short 300
that's,
pounds.
That's, they could do it by BMI, I guess, right? Body mass, they could. That if you're really tall, your knees are in the back of whoever's in front of you anyway, right?
You want to buy a business class that way.
You want to get a business or first class in that case. All right, that is going to do it for us this morning. Kim St. Ange is off again tomorrow. She'll be back on Wednesday. We appreciate you all being here. Brian Kilmeade Show coming up shortly. And then Annie and Mark this afternoon. We'll see you about 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.